also Jesse Ullman's uncle.
Well, good morning, and welcome for the thank you for the privilege of bringing you the Word of God this morning. Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together. Well, Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the blessings that you have in store for us this morning, especially now as we gather around your Word, and throughout the day as we hear your Word in all the classes and meetings that we're about to attend, and as we, as fellow Christians, encourage one another in the faith. Be with us today and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many folks here have had the opportunity to speak to a real live skeptic? Have you? Yeah, you know, you hear about people that don't accept or believe the truths of Scripture. And I know there's people out there because I've read their books, but I've never sat face to face with one before until last Wednesday. Young man that grew up in the church and son of a pastor, in fact, and knows his Bible backwards, forwards, left, and right, and we've been getting together quite often here recently, and he thought we were going to come together again and talk about creation versus evolution. He came with stacks of papers to explain to me that radioactive dating and all of this kind of thing certainly indicates, according to his mind, that we live in an earth that is many million years old. Well, as our conversation went on, I kept trying to steer him back to the Scriptures. And finally, I asked him a question. I said, well, what about Jesus? What do you make of Jesus? What do you do with this guy Jesus? Obviously, he cannot be denied. That's why around Christmas and Easter time, you'll pick up the Newsweek magazine and they'll maybe have a picture of Jesus on the cover. Turn to the History Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic, and they'll be running programs, and they're going to reveal all the latest discoveries about this man called Jesus. And at best, they're dubious. At worst, they're just out-and-out blasphemy. And so I asked this man the question, what do you do with Jesus? You can't deny him, so do you believe in him? And his comments were, as I try not to believe in anything. There's incomplete data, he kept saying. Unless I have enough data to come to a scientific conclusion, I'll neither believe or reject. He said, if somebody told me there was a pink unicorn in my trunk, I would neither accept nor reject that until I went out and verified the data. Well, I kept trying to bring him back to the Scriptures. And I said, Jesus can't be denied. After all, we live in the year of our Lord, 2009. We talked about the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which record all of those details about Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And that question is there for the entire world to consider, isn't it? Who is Jesus? What do we do with Jesus? What do we make of this man, Jesus? Of course, God's Word, His almighty, powerful Word, tells us exactly what we should do with Jesus. Believe in Him. Listen to Him. Worship Him. And spread that good news about him. I want to turn to a story this morning in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read just a few verses this morning, and we're going to kind of fill in the context. But it's Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 40, where Jesus speaks these words. We're told this story. And then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus was essentially being asked the question, what makes you so special? Why should we believe in you? Why should we give you any more credit than, any one of the other great teachers that were out there at the time? What makes Jesus so special? Well, bottom line, for us, right, we don't care what the History Channel says. We don't care what National Geographic says. We care what God's Word says. I care about what Jesus Himself said. The Word of God we just heard is exactly that, the Word of God. And there we find a record of this continued confrontation between the religious leaders of Jesus' day and Jesus himself. Back in verse 24, the men had accused Jesus of doing not God's work, but the devil's work. The context of this tells us that Jesus had healed a man, and these men had accused Jesus of not doing his miracles by the power of God, but rather by the power of Beelzebub, Satan himself. Jesus makes a pretty brilliant case, you know, a debate case, that, listen, Satan wouldn't cast out his own demons, so I can't be working for Beelzebub. So then we pick up the story here in verse 38, and it basically goes like this. It's a paraphrase. They say, okay, Jesus, we'll concede. There's maybe some ambiguity about what happened here in some of your miracles. Some say you received your power from the devil. Some say you received your power from God. We have incomplete data, they said. We want a definitive answer. You can answer our question here and now, right here and now, by doing a miracle for us. Perform some great miracle right now that will prove to everyone who you really are. If you are the Christ, prove it. Jesus didn't do that, though he certainly could have. Instead, he gives him this response. He says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. He calls them an adulterous generation. He wasn't talking about sexual immorality here. He was talking about spiritual immorality. They had engaged in spiritual immorality. They had committed adultery, essentially, against God. They hadn't maybe joined in the pagan idol worship that's in the Old Testament, but they had certainly been unfaithful to the God who had been so faithful to them. Jesus responds again as the verse goes on. He said, for Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, and so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The Pharisees and the crowd that had gathered there that day, they were not going to get the sign they wanted. They weren't going to get that miracle that they were demanding of Jesus, but there would be proof. There would be proof that Jesus was and is exactly who he said he would be. They were going to receive the sign of Jonah. Now we remember the story of Jonah, right? He was sent by God to Nineveh and he didn't want to go, and so he got himself on a ship going the opposite direction, and they threw him overboard. He was swallowed by a great fish, and he spent 3 days in the belly of that fish, and then that fish vomited him up on the shores in Nineveh. He preached God's word, and the city of Nineveh repented. Now, it's unlikely that the Pharisees, the crowd, or even Jesus' disciples themselves understood completely with any type of clarity what Jesus was talking about that day, what he meant by the sign of Jonah, even though they would have been familiar with that story. We have the benefit of hindsight and the scriptures which fill us in. We know that Jesus was speaking about his resurrection from the dead. Just as Jonah was, in a sense, resurrected from the belly of that fish after 3 days, Jesus would be brought back to life after spending 3 days in the grave. This is, of course, what happened on that most magnificent and incredible day that this earth has ever seen, when Jesus rose victoriously from the grave. The proof, as they say, is in the pudding. Or in this case, the proof is in the empty tomb. So the question is still there for everyone to consider. What do we do with Jesus? What do we make of this man, Jesus? Well, of course, our answer, by the grace of God, through the faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts, we say we believe him. We listen to this story and we take it for what it is, the truth of God's word, and we worship Jesus Christ for who he is, and we proclaim his name. Jesus concludes this interaction with these folks, these Pharisees, with a warning. He doesn't talk about signs which prove that he's the Messiah now, but rather he mentions the witnesses that will testify against them, those Ninevites. Takes us ahead, we think, maybe to the days of judgment. You know, those Ninevites, they had much less evidence in front of them, I guess we could say, than Jesus Christ himself. Although they had the Word of God, and that's why they repented. That's why they believed. And so today, those Pharisees, they had Jesus, the Word of God, in the flesh, right before their eyes, speaking them the truth of God's words. And we have what the Ninevites had, we have what those Pharisees had, we have everything we really need right here in the pages of Scripture. You know, a few months ago, There was a lot of buzz in the world about who was the greatest baseball team. You know, who was going to be the winner of the World Series at the end of the season. Everybody was going back and forth, you know, talking about who was the best. Well, in just a few short weeks when the Cardinals win the World Series. Well, in a few weeks, that debate will be settled, right? There will be no more debate about who the best baseball team is. All debate will end, and all the conversations about who is the best or who was going to be the best or who had the best pitching staff will end because there will be one champion. Well, when Jesus rose from the dead that first Easter morning, all talk of who Jesus is, what we should make of Him, and what we should do with Him, all of that talk should have ended. You see, God declared to the world, He declares to each and every one of us, through the resurrection of His Son, that Jesus was and is and remains today His Son, Savior of the world, perfect in obedience, victorious in death, living and reigning for all eternity in heaven for us, King of kings and Lord of lords. So this morning, today, throughout our lives, every day, let's ask ourselves that question. What do we do with the truth that we know about Jesus, that we believe about Jesus? And that's just it. Listen to Him, learn from Him, believe in Him, trust in Him, worship Him as Lord and Savior, and proclaim that good news of our Savior wherever and whenever the Lord gives us opportunity. In Jesus' saving name. Amen. Let's close this morning by singing the last two verses of hymn 798. Meet with my nieces and nephews for just a moment underneath the hoop.
Before you say